נועם שרעבי and אלון פוטרמן with כפר עזה טוק.
I'm Noam Sharabi, a member of Kibbutz Kfar Aza.
And I'm Alon Futterman, director of the Kfar Aza Foundation. Welcome to Kfar Aza Talk, where we'll be meeting with the young adults of the community in order to discuss life since the massacre of October 7th in Israel.
All eyes are on the young adults of this community. Many see them as the future leadership, as a source of resilience, and even as a compass that the seniors wish to follow in order to promise the unity of as many as possible.
Today, we mark 276 days since the attack and since 240 Israelis were taken into captivity in Gaza. Thankfully, many have returned since. However, there are still 120 in there, including five members of our community, Keith Siegel, Emily Damari, Doron Steinbecher, and Gali and Ziv Berman. Our hearts go out to them, and we continue to pray for their safe return home.
On this morning's show, we'll be talking to two young adults from the community, Shachar Ettinger and Rotem Koren. Both have just returned from a delegation to Los Angeles, where they spoke in front of thousands of people about their personal, familiar, and communal challenges.
As well as others, they too have embarked an unbelievable journey since evacuated out of Kfar Aza under fire, and today they are here in order to share experiences and thoughts about the future. Shachar and Rotem, welcome.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to have you with us today.
It's an honor to be here today.
I'm looking at the t-shirts that you guys are wearing. Can you tell us about them? Shachar, on your shirt it says Gali and Zivi. And Rotem, on your shirt it says Emily.
Yeah.
So please tell us about it.
We try to support the family, and we try to show all over the world, and also like specifically in Israel, that we are supporting our community. And not only people from kibbutz know the names and the people, also people that out from the kibbutz. So we make shirts with the personal names on the front and something like that symbol their names, their like Ofi.
Your character.
Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, this is an initiative that is led by the young adults of Kfar Aza in order to raise awareness for those who are still in captivity.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So on your shirt it says Emily for Emily Damari, and on your shirt it says Gali and Zivi for Gali and Zivi Berman. Right? Yeah. And if people want to buy these shirts, where can they find them?
So we have website, and also we have like physically places or like shop that you can buy there. And
so what do people have to Google in order to find the website?
So they need to write BTH Kfar Aza.
BTH Kfar Aza.
BTH Kfar Aza with 2 Z. And then they can see catalog with hats, shirts, any shirts to any person. And everything like right there, where is all the revenue goes, our activities. But the most important thing about the shirts, it's that I try to do something like very authentic, because when you do something authentic and make people get empathy to person, it's helped to grow and to keep all the information.
And tell me, where do all the profits go? The income from selling the shirts,
so
where does that go?
All the income go to the families of the hostages.
Families of the hostages.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we also want to keep it until they like return, and want to earn more money to help them to rebuild their life when they will return. And we hope that this project will end like soon as possible.
Amen.
But yes.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing with us this very important initiative. And we would like to start a conversation with you. We would like our listeners around the world to learn about the young adults of Kfar Aza. We have many friends and supporters of the community that are asking constantly, what can they do in order to help? And we realize that this show is a great opportunity for people who are asking to learn more about people like yourselves, your family, your friends, what you're going through. And our first question for today, if you don't mind sharing with us, is where do you and your family live today? We know that you're not in Kfar Aza. No one can live in Kfar Aza. So where are you?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll start. So I'm Shachar, originally from Kfar Aza. Now in the last 2 years, I lived in Tel Aviv with a few friends from Kfar Aza. We lived together in an apartment.
Shachar, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Yeah.
So I've been in Kfar Aza in the 7th of October. And since then, I'm moving from place to place, trying to rebuild what I achieved in my last apartment. Mostly the feeling of home that missing. So now I'm in Tel Aviv, and my parents are both in Herzliya. They live in an apartment that meant for students. Also, like half of the time there, I lived with them. So you can see it's not like regular home and regular life that they have.
It's smaller. Yeah, it's supposed to be for college and students and not for a family.
Yeah. It's tough, it's small, it's it's not comfortable.
So when your parents and yourself were evacuated from Kfar Aza on October 7th, by the way, did you get out on October 7th or October 8th?
On October 8th.
8th. So when you were evacuated on October 8th, did you go straight to the dorms of Reichman University, the IDC Herzliya?
No, so when we evacuated from Kfar Aza, we lived like, I think, 2 months in an apartment in Herzliya that we got from some connections. People just gave us the apartment for free until we get our stuff back and like stand on our own legs. And then they moved to this apartment that they are now living in.
So a family, the Ettinger family that is usually in the south, is now in the center of the country.
Yeah,
your parents, they are living in a student dorm, right? Student dorms in Herzliya, and you're renting an apartment in Tel Aviv.
Also, both of my sisters on Tel Aviv and Ra'anana. So we're all closed now, but not from good...
You've created a home away from home.
Yeah, not and from good reasons.
Does it feel like home, or does it feel like it's temporary?
I think for my parents, for sure, it's temporary.
Why? Why do you say for sure?
Because they don't want to live in the city, especially not in the center of Israel. They want...
The traffic is too much.
Yeah, the traffic is too much, They want to live in silence, in some place that will go out and not hear a lot of noise and
they sounds like they want to be pioneers that move to the south and live in a quiet and pleasant place less city noise. Thank you for sharing with us. Otem, where do you live today?
So like Shachar said, I'm also live now in some hotel that a lot of youngest people from Kfar Aza, that they don't have apartment or something like that or some solution, live there. My parents, like Shachar's parents, live in the dorms of Reichman University. Like Shachar said, I think it's very difficult moment because I think the home in kibbutz, it's more than like four walls. It's all the like the mindset, the air, the grass, the value. So it's something that very missed for me, because every time that I return to the kibbutz, I get a lot of energy to keep forward, to keep moving, to try to be better, to try to be without pressure. And I think it's also effect about all my family, because my family is everything. My parents is everything for my brothers, for everyone. And every like 2 weeks we go there, we celebrate, we sitting, we relax, and it's like a big hall that we miss it.
So let's zoom out for a second so all of our listeners can follow. Most of the people from Kfar Aza were relocated to a kibbutz in the center of the country called Shfaim. It's north of Tel Aviv and south of Netanya. There's a hotel there. And basically since October, there are families that are living in single hotel rooms. Entire families living inside single hotel rooms. Now there are other families... They're living in the area. They had a different living arrangement, right? Like the dorms of IDC Reichman Herzliya. And so they're close to the community, but they're not physically located in Shfaim. And both of your parents, and I think, Noam, your parents are also in the area, right? They're not in Shfaim as well. So we have three families from Kfar Aza that have their children here representing them. And they are not in Shfaim, but they're close to Shfaim. And Rotem, you mentioned that you're renting an apartment in Tel Aviv. Noam, where are you living?
So I am living with my family in Netanya.
Noam is living in Netanya. And Rotem, where are you living?
In the Port Hotel.
The Port Hotel in Tel Aviv. Yeah.
So what does your day look like after October 7th?
Yeah. I think it's a tough question because it's changed so much time. I think I will talk to myself. The community that we have is giving us so much strength, and we can see the resilience of the community. And I speak for myself, as I said, that my friends and my family giving me the powers to get on my feet and be in this routine.
Yeah, before we move to Rotem, I just want to say that I definitely relate to what you're saying. I think in a way, for a lot of people, October 7th came and went, but we're still like living that day again and again, just knowing that Gali, Ziv, Emily, Doron, and Kid, they're still there. And so it's really hard to form any kind of routine knowing that they need us and they need us to be their voice. So it's really hard to just like continue with our normal lives.
Yeah, I will add that we need to deal also with, like, I have two best friends that died or murdered, and we need to combine it with the best friends like Gali and Ziv that are kidnapped now. So, and including my own story in this whole thing, the trauma is so big, and still. We still really live in the 7th of October.
Shachar, if you don't mind me asking, how do you balance all the hard feelings and dealing with such a tough reality with life? I mean, there's bad, and then if you want to balance that with the bad that you can't resolve, you have to create good as well.
Yeah.
Are you creating good for yourself? Do you feel that it's challenging to create a time out, time to get a beer, get a cup of coffee, so meet friends? Is it weird to do it, or is it important to do it?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying that I feel like I have two lives now. The life that I have since the 7th of October, and with all of my story, the hostage situation, and the friends that they are dead. And I keep it like in a place that will not affect on my other life, that this is the routine, the study, the work, and go out. I don't do it often, but I think we need to do it to stay calm. And I really think that it's not the same life. So I'm trying to put it like on the side when I'm in my routine, and I think we learned how to do it, and it will not affect on the things that we need to do now. So I don't have like a special solution, but I think I really hide my feelings in my normal day.
So you are both students, like you said. What made you decide to go on a plane, stop your life, and just go on this delegation?
It's not just going on a plane. It's a 16-hour flight from Israel to Los Angeles. Easy. That's quite a flight.
Yeah, I sit, right? I sit next to the bathroom. It's terrible. I think for me the best thing to do right now, and the thing that have the most good effect on my life, is when I take active place for the kibbutz and for my friends that are now hostages. And I think this is the most important thing to do right now. Like the study, are we able to, I don't know.
Do it later.
Yeah, we'll manage to deal with it somehow.
So, like Shachar said, I think, first of all, it's difficult. It's difficult to combine between these two things because we study a lot and our study is, it's not like regular. But for me, my purpose, the thing that make me like wake up every morning and to be better person is to help to my best friends and the family of my friends and my parents. And for me, like to get some good grade or something like that, it's not a matter. For me, it's more important to go to US and to send like Emily brothers or Gali and Zivi brothers, like some random people that take picture with their shirts of the names. And when they like a little bit smile from the situation, for me it's everything, because like I said, in kibbutz everyone is intertwined, and for me, when I'm man of men's, like it's slang in Hebrew, and if someone next to me that is suffer more than me, and if I can help him to be like more positive, more happy, I would do everything to achieve these goals. But this is our mindset. I think most of the youngest people, they do active actions. This is like what motivate them to act. And for me, it's the most important thing.
I guess this is also an opportunity to tell our listeners that we have over 300 people from Kfar Aza that have signed up for storytelling workshops in English that the foundation is providing. So additional people who want to share their stories, who want to tell their stories and testimonies from and of October 7th, could do so when invited. So if you are part of a group of any kind, a synagogue, a church, and would like to have people from Kfar Aza come your way and create a specific program that can help this community overcome barriers, please reach out to us. Let's take a minute and talk about the future. Okay, I think it's an important part of this conversation. The community will soon be moving to a temporary living location in the south. Supposedly, they're going to start moving at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall of 2024. Okay, that means that they've moved under fire from Kfar Aza to Shfaim, and then from Shfaim sometimes to the dorms in Herzliya or stayed in Shfaim. But as of the fall of 2024, Kfar Aza will be relocating as a community, assuming that people chose to do so, to a trailer site. Okay, what we call a caravilla, like a caravan. It's a big caravan, and everyone is going to be living there together as a community for the next 2 years or so until Kfar Aza reopens. Now, this situation is tearing families apart. Okay, for some want to stay with the community, regardless of the challenges of living on a site that doesn't exist and is now under construction. And some want to have a better living arrangement for the next 2 years, and that's understandable. I'm wondering, what did the Shabbat dinner discourse in your family look like before making that decision? There was a deadline for signing the contract and telling the world what you decided to do, moving down south of the community or going on your own individual track for 2 years. So what did the Shabbat dinner before signing that contract look like in your families?
So I think in Korean family, it was before Shabbat dinner, because I make the decision that they don't move there, because like I said, my family is everything. Our power, it's when we are together. And if my family like move to the area that the most of the community move, I will stay separate from my family, and this is my power. So it was without any decision that we need to stay together. When I am in the near to Tel Aviv, my brother in Herzliya, So on Shabbat dinner we eat. We don't we don't need to solve this problem.
And your mom's a great cook, so you eat well.
My father also, he stopped to do it because most of our brothers like moved to their houses, but I start to convince him to
go back to cooking.
Recook.
So you basically told your parents, mom, dad, yeah, you're not moving.
No.
How did they react to that? What did they just immediately say yes? Okay?
I think after the 7th of October, what happened? It's like the youngest replaced the oldest.
Wow, that's an interesting take.
They take the decision, take the activities, and it was very easy for me because, like, the biggest love of my parents, it's their children.
So I know your parents. It's their grandchildren. They don't care about their children.
But my mother, it's a little bit different from my father. But seriously, if they need to choose between to be far away from us in these bad times that we need to be together, it's easy choice. Mm-hmm. But it's more difficult when, like, your family, it's like separate and they don't have like the power to decision, because most of the community are confused, and I understand the situation. You move in like the craziest moment and situation that I think the country have true, and you need to get like really big decision in like very first time.
So you basically said to your parents, if some of us are in the center, you stay here next to us.
Yeah.
Right? And then the discussion about returning in the future, we'll have it one day.
When Kfar Aza opened their gate, and I hope it will happen.
We'll cross that bridge in the future. Right? But for now, we stay together in the center. And wait, Shaha, what about you?
Yeah. So in my family, I think we're... The kids, we are adult already, so I think our decision is separate from my parents' decision, because we have our own separate lives, and we have different things that we need to do right now. But my parents are decided to move with the community, and for me, I think that their decision is good if they're happy with it. Like, I think that not both of them. Like, most my mother is she wants to stay with the community. My father, I mean, not tell things.
Family secrets.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Just
you
know, the discussion between the two of our parents.
Yeah, and it's a tough decision.
I think it's very reflective of a lot of the families that I know as well. There's not one answer for all.
Yeah.
Even when within families, there are people who think, you know, continue with the community regardless of where the community goes, and others within the same family unit that are saying, not now.
Yeah.
Now we take care of ourselves, and we'll deal with the Kfar Aza question and returning home, yes or no, when time comes.
Yeah, for sure, you need to do some sacrifices in your life.
Yes.
And it's tough because all of us had our lives, like my parents had their lives. They didn't need to even thought about it. And now they need to think about moving, and like they need to do big sacrifices. And it's tough.
Noam, what about your family?
So I think my parents are somewhere in the middle between Rotem's and Shaha's parents. If you ask my dad, and he can just like right now move back to Kfar Aza, you know, who needs electricity? Who needs windows? I don't know. But my mom is very scared. Yeah, to be very honest, she's scared, and rightfully so. So they thought about it, and we had a lot of discussions about it, but they have decided to go to the south, move to the south, but not to Ruhama, and they're going to rent a house in a nearby moshav. And if you ask my dad, then he views it as, okay, let's just cut clean, take a break, and after 2 years we can think about going back to Kfar Aza. And my mom is just like, you know, she needs some time away from, I wouldn't say from the community, because she belongs to this community, but a little time to think about things and think about the future. I think, like Shachar said, I mean, they already found their safe haven, right? And now, in the middle of their lives, they need to make some life-altering decisions, and they never thought that they're going to need to do that, and not on such a big scale. So it's very...
very interesting. It's three very different people, three different stories. Yeah. I think it is also important to share that in Kfar Aza, over 60% of the families decided to move to Ruhama, to move to this temporary living location in the south, which is something that I give the community a lot of credit for. Not, God forbid, saying something negative about those that chose not to move with the community, because we know that everyone is figuring out another question, and that is, how do we stay part of the community, even if for the next 2 years we're not going to be living in Ruhama? So, like Noah mentioned, for some families, it's renting an apartment next to Ruhama to be near. And for others, it's being part of activities and programs that allow them to have that ongoing connection. We're in a very weird reality where there's no wrong answer, right? There's not a right thing to do and a wrong thing to do. It's a lot of figuring out, how do we stay part of this community that is called Kfar Aza, even if we're not in Kfar Aza? And that's an unfortunate reality, but that's reality.
So I can, it's like a funny compare or example. I think it's like in football team, you have the players, but you have the fans that, like, their effective is, it's sometimes more than the players, because they support, they buy the tickets, they make the team, like, start and like keep forward. And I think in this situation, because it's tough situation, tough decision, you need to respect all decision that the community take. And if you have some families that don't want to move to the place the Caravilla will like build, they also support by activities, because we are connect. Our connect is, it's stronger than like a couple of miles or something like that. And I think you can see it also in the youngest people that they were students before the 7th of October, and we live like in Tel Aviv or something like that. We support and do some action for the kibbutz every week. Like every week, every time we feel, and I think that the kibbutz feel the same, that we are part of the community, even if we like not live there every day. So I think this is the solution, and I think this is what will happen, because in Kfar Aza we have like a lot of special people and good roots and strong roots that help to this community to rebuild themselves. And it's not matter if it will be like in the same place for the two the first 2 years. I think the motivate to keep this community strong and together, this is what helped to achieve these goals.
I'll say that for me, and I think for most of the people of Kfar Aza, Kfar Aza is our home, and it doesn't matter if it's with the community or without. The feeling of being part of Kfar Aza, for me, is everything. And that's why I do some activities and want to help the community and the kibbutz and the hostages. But I think everyone that living in Kfar Aza feel this way.
So when we're talking about Ruhama, we were talking about our parents. And it was kind of obvious, we didn't mention it, that we ourselves are not moving, because we already are leaving like our parents' house and starting our own lives. But when I ask you, how do you see, what do you envision for Kfar Aza? What do you see as Kfar Aza's future in 10 years? What do you imagine?
So in my way, I don't try to imagine things. I want to do things that make it happen. And in a lot of conversation that I have like in with the country or people that like have the like the owner about how the kibbutz will be, not from the kibbutz management but from the country. So it's very important for me to tell them that if they want that the kibbutz will be like he was, they need to take care to the youngest people, because if you want like big tree and strong tree, you need to take care in the best way, in the high quality to the roots. And I think that we need to, we like as community, as people need to help to the youngest to get hope to return to Kfar Aza, because this is, I think, the most important thing, to help to the kibbutz to be like the best kibbutz and area in more 10 years, and if it's education, construction, like work, mindset, everything.
I definitely agree with you, but how do we, so for example, you're from the young generation, right?
Okay.
How do we make it so that you would want to go back to Kfar Aza?
Okay. I moved to IDC University because I want to handle with the best people in the country, like the smartest, the people that they have, like
this is a good commercial for IDC. Yeah.
No, they have like the big base, like they came with family with a lot of money, and it make you to fight or flight, like I said, and it's helped me to be like the best of me. And I think that we need to do it also in the south, like Sapire College, to replace it to like high quality in university. Mm-hmm. Also like the job there, I think you can find some okay jobs, but you must to upgrade it to like the biggest office. It's difficult to do it, but we must to do it. We must to replace, we must to be like winners, we must to think in big way, because the South is, it's my home, it's my place. I get all my value from this place, and I mm-hmm. think that if I now I'm the best, like
the best version
of myself, so a lot mm-hmm. of youngest people can do also, but they need hope, they need hope, and they need place that show them like it's fine, you like you born kibbutz, we know like the border it's little bit small, but it's happen, it can happen, you can achieve everything that you want.
So you're saying dream big, upgrade the whole area, not just Kfar Aza, and just like give us hope.
And I think the area that you born and the area that bring you the value and the way to succeed need to be like the best. And okay. I don't think now, I think that now we have like the best opportunity to do it.
Yes.
To upgrade everything.
What do you say, Shaha?
First of all, I think it's hard to imagine the life that we live until all of the hostage situation are happening. And for me, I cannot even start to imagine. And that's a tough question, because I really don't know what will happen in 10 years. I hope that we will rebuild the kibbutz to be as successful as it was. I don't know if it will happen, because we lost so much friends of the community. But I also think that the younger generation need to be in the front mm-hmm. of the activity of rebuild the kibbutz, and I hope that that the kibbutz will be good and safe place for safe. All of us to live, yeah, especially yeah. safe.
Friends, I want to thank you for joining us today. This was a very special first episode for us, and we're happy that you were our first guests. It's an opportunity to thank Noam for co-hosting this show with me as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow,
I'm going to seize this opportunity to also thank some other people that are here with us, and they've been with us since October. So we have so many supporters that through the Kfar Aza Foundation are supporting initiatives in education and welfare, mental health, community programs, commemoration, and now we're even rebuilding. So thank you to all of you that are reaching out and asking how you can help, how you can donate. Google us. We're at Kfar Aza is not alone on the internet. And all donations are obviously tax deductible in your countries as well. So thank you for those who have already helped. Thank you for those who have joined us today. thank you for those who will be helping us thanks to this opportunity that we've created here together. We look forward to additional conversations with additional members of the Young Adults of Kfar Aza. And we opened with a prayer that we're going to end with as well, and that is that all people that are in captivity return home safe as soon as possible. We're going to do everything that we can in order for that to happen. Toda rabah.